program specialists, who typically are the folks who deal with process claims. And thank you all for calling in, and thank you to all of the VR&E officers who've called in as well. And I just want to mention up front, you might want to make a note, and we're going to cover this at the end as well, that this training does have a TMS number, VA-381-2160, which you'll want to access when the training is completed and certify that you've completed it. So we have an hour to cover quite a bit of territory in Chapter 31 claim processing, and I'd like to start with an overview. What we'll be talking about today is claim development, what you do upon receipt of the claim. We'll be talking about basic eligibility. Basic eligibility for Chapter 31 consists of qualifying military service and a qualifying service-connected disability rating. We'll be talking about date of claim accuracy and where it is established and how you can track it in Corporate Winners and in BDM on the M35 screen. Talk about the importance of the CER folder location and the importance of making sure that the sequence of that BFLD command is handled correctly for original and reopened claims. We'll be talking about disallowance of basic eligibility for Chapter 31 in AutoGED. We'll talk about data generation and tracking. AutoGED will create end products 095, 295, and 719, and we'll do that both in the corporate environment as well as in BDN. And then we'll talk about BDN master record corrections. A little more overview. As Lilan mentioned, we're going to take this opportunity to introduce you to this new functionality called indexing functionality. And indexing, when we use it in Voc Rehab, we are referencing a process that is different than what VBMS references when they use indexing. Indexing for us is actually a BDN record that is set to point to either BDN or the corporate record, corporate winners, for purposes of controlling which system will pay subsistence allowance. And as you'll see a little bit further on today and more in the future, this is going to play a big part in our migration off of BDN. We'll talk about the impact of archiving BDN master records on Chapter 31 claims processing, and then how do you know that you've got a claim from a veteran whose BDN master record has been archived, and then what do you do when you discover that? We'll talk about using SHARE to locate Chapter 31 information, and then give you a little specifics on how to update the BDN master record when entitlement should be charged to a veteran who's pursuing training but not receiving subsistence allowance. So moving on, what's in it for me? When I talk with a group of folks who consists of program specialists and Voc Rehab counselors and maybe employment coordinators and VR&E managers, sometimes when I get to the point of the specifics of how to handle a claim for Chapter 31, I see eyes sort of glaze over in the field because not everyone sees what's in this process for them. I want to assure you that from the very moment we meet with a service member or a veteran, we all are playing a very important role to that person to help them gain access to Chapter 31 services. And the proper processing of a Chapter 31 claim has something in it for every single role in VR&E. Yes, the program specialist wants to get that claim processed as quickly as possible. And yes, the Voc Rehab officer wants that claim processed and into the evaluation and planning phase so that we meet a timeliness factor. But there are other issues involved that come out of proper processing of a Chapter 31 claim. Voc Rehab counselor and employment coordinator need to know what period of time this veteran has left in their basic period of eligibility. They need to know whether they should be prepared to address the issue of perhaps extending that period of eligibility. They need to know how many months of entitlement have been used by education programs and how much is remaining for Chapter 31. That is all part and parcel of the proper processing of a Chapter 31 claim. The veteran is our primary customer, and he or she would like to receive an answer sooner, probably, rather than later, and we all want to be able to give that to them. So there's something in it for everyone that we accept and process Chapter 31 claims correctly and timely. So let's begin with claim development, and I'm moving on to slide number 6. All right, on this overview page, we'll talk about receiving and processing Chapter 31 applications, and basically categorized the receipt in two different groups. We have mailroom delivery, and that includes any venue in which that paper 28-1900 is received, whether the veteran hand carries it in or it comes in from their service officer, whether it was received in an outreach location, DTAP or IDES, or was delivered by the U.S. Postal Service. That's one category. The other category is the electronic means through Vaughn app. And hopefully all of you have access to Vaughn app and download your applications on a regular routine basis. Once you receive the application, the very first thing that you want to do is verify that the individual is somebody who meets the basic eligibility criteria, that they have qualifying military service, and that they have qualifying service-connected disability. You also want to check to see if there is already a Chapter 31 record in existence, and if it is it in the correct station, meaning is it in your station? You're going to check in CWINNERS and in BDN.
I need to tell them what's like.
And you're going to verify that the date on the claim, the date of claim is on the application. We suggest to you that you verify that you know the type of claim, whether it's an original. If it's an original, there will be no CWINNERS record. There will be no BDN record, and it will not be reflected in SHARE either as a Chapter 31. The other type of claim would be a reopen claim. A reopen claim would be from any veteran who is currently in discontinued or rehabilitated case status. At this point, I want to introduce you again to End Product 795. Those of you who were on an earlier call last month at the end of August would have received some information about the use of End Product 795 in controlling claims that come in from veterans who were previously rehabilitated. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. There's one new group here that will be coming up between September and October this year, and that's the Chapter 36, the educational vocational recipients who are currently in applicant status. So we've got three types of claims now. We've got an original Chapter 31, we have a reopened Chapter 31, and we have an existing Chapter 36 claim that is in applicant status. And again, from that call at the end of August, and we believe we're referencing the letter that talks about case status movements. If you have a Chapter 36 participant in applicant status and that person then becomes eligible for Chapter 31, you want to first off be able to recognize that when you receive the claim from them and know how to process that Chapter 31 so that we make sure that we retain or convert the 36 record correctly. You want to know the outcome. What's going to happen after you authorize the GED? Are you allowing basic eligibility or are you disallowing basic eligibility? Because our primary criteria are pretty basic, you know, does the individual have qualifying military service and does he or she have a qualifying service kind of disability? Those are the criteria that mean a yes or a no answer that either allow or disallow basic eligibility. So we're advising you to know that before you start processing the claim. I'm moving on to slide number 8. And I want to just make sure that we all know that there are 7 pretty basic systems that are information technology systems that we use in Chapter 31 claims development. BDN. These are in alphabetical order, by the way, not in any precedence of importance or frequency of use. So we have BDN, URLs, Corporate Winners, SHARE, VBMS, Virtual VA, and Vaughn App.
Okay.
If you do not have access or wondering how to get access to any of those systems, we ask you to contact your local information resource management team and or your information security officer. They'll help you gain with the correct process to gain access. Typically, if you're located in a regional office, it would be through the Common Security Employee Management System, CSEM.
Oh.
All right, continuing on with basic claim development steps. There are some critical areas to verify before we start accessing Corporate Winners out of GED and initiating an automated process. Again, verifying whether you've got an original or reopened claim, know that up front, because the steps that follow after will really help you in making sure that the data is accurately associated with your station, that you've got the data claim correctly inserted into all of the records in the way that it needs to be, and that you aren't going to encounter any difficulty with the records either during the GED processing or after it's processed. Verifying qualifying a military service, typically we're going to do that with BURLs, but you also, there's a paper document that will tell you whether the individual has qualifying military service, and that's a DD Form 214. If you run into any questions or problems with that verification, either it's not documented or it's not contained in BURLs or something doesn't seem to be right, you can always go to the Veterans Service Center and ask them to validate the military service that you're looking at. If you have a reopened claim and a BDN master record exists, you can get information on that on the prior status from BDN on the M33 and the M35 screens. Or you can get information from the SHARE VRNE information tab. That's a fairly recent feature in SHARE, and we're talking about it today because I don't know whether everybody is familiar with it, or at least familiar enough to use that on a routine basis. We would like to ask you to add SHARE, access to SHARE, corporate inquiries, in your daily processing of claims, because we are adding more and more features and functionality into SHARE as we migrate off of BDN. So information that you would see in BDN, you're now going to start seeing in SHARE. Going on to slide 10, basic claim development steps. And we verified that we've got a veteran who, we know that we need to verify the qualifying military service. We need also to verify the qualifying service kind of disability and to obtain something called the initial rating notification date, or IRND. The IRND is going to come from the service-connected compensation rating. So long as the veteran has a service-connected compensation rating of 10% or higher, there will be an IRND. And please note that I use the word veteran in association with service-connected compensation rating. An active duty service member will not have a current service-connected compensation payment, and will probably have, they may have had one before they re-entered military service, and they probably will have one after they exit military service and reopen their claim for service-connected disability, but while they're on active duty, they will not have a compensable service-connected disability award.
Oh, we can't do it.
So the IRND is associated with a veteran service-connected compensation rating. If the veteran has a memorandum rating, that also constitutes verification of qualifying service-connected disability. and there is no initial rating notification date for a memorandum rating. And then the National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, also constitutes qualifying service-connected disability notification, and there is no IRND for an NDAA claim. When you find the IRND, we want to again start pointing you to share the corporate inquiries. And here are the steps: the corporate inquiries, awards and ratings, then the compensation ratings. Memorandum ratings, you will see a record of it having been processed in SHARE. You more than likely will have to go to a different system, like virtual VA, to pull the actual rating decision and letter. And if those electronic systems don't contain the initial rating notification date, if the rating was made longer ago than our corporate applications have been in service to us, you most likely will have to obtain the Veterans Claims folder and find the information in the claims folder. All right, again, we're going to verify that the CER folder is in your station. You're going to hear me repeat that a couple times today because it is so important that in all of the systems, BDN and corporate winners, where Chapter 31 is processed, that the CER folder location is at your station. And verify whether a Chapter 36 educational vocational record exists. And again, verify the date of claim. And now we're moving into the date of claim. On a formal or an informal claim, whether it is paper or electronic, there is a date of claim. If you receive a paper document without a date of claim, please take it back to your central receiving point. Perhaps it's a mailroom, maybe it's a service center, and make sure that a date stamp is affixed to it. This given you 5 different suggestions on where a 28-1900 could come into the VA. It could come in through a VBA regional office or an out-based location, including any of our outreach locations, whether it's IDES or a DTAP location. It could come into a VHA facility or one of your community-based outpatient clinics. It could come into a vet center. It could come in to the National Cemetery Administration. Or it could be electronically submitted through VonApp. VonApp will have the date of claim. It equals the date of submission. And again, the 1900, the date of claim on the 1900, wherever it came in through a VA facility, that's the actual date of claim. All right, I'm moving on to slide 12. And on this screen, showing those of you who may be unfamiliar with BDN, if you're new to claims processing, perhaps you haven't been introduced to BDN yet or have a strong sense of familiarity, so providing a few screenshots for you. The minimum entries to access a veteran's information data to verify their qualifying military service is through BURLS. And you can access BURLS either through BDN or SHARE. This screen snapshot is from BURLS. The minimum entry is a BINC command, B-I-N-Q, your ready screen password, and a file number. When you enter that, you get a display such as is presented to you on slide 13. And what I want to ask you to focus your attention on is the minimum required entries to verify qualifying service, and that's the EOD, the entry onto active duty, the ROD, which is a release from active duty, the character of service, and there are appropriate character of service for discharge that are approved by the service center and therefore will be approved for Chapter 31 processing as well. The separation reason code and the verified indicator. Verified indicator is very important. Either it's been verified through a DoD VA transmission of the veterans, service members or veterans military service data, or it has been approved through a VA entity that's qualified to make that approval. But there will be a Y on either the VADS or the verified line. If any of these fields are missing and the applicant is a veteran, they suggest that you alert the service center and ask them to take a look at it and either validate and update Burrells or validate that the information is accurate, and that may mean that the claim for Chapter 31 is disallowed for not meeting the basic eligibility criteria. The next screen, 14, displays, again, a Burrells record with the minimum data necessary for in-service, for an in, a memorandum rating for a service member who's still on active duty or National Defense Authorization Act type of a claim. The reason I put this slide in here is because I received questions from folks who are stationed at IDES locations, and sometimes those active duty service members, their Burrells information doesn't get updated quick enough. And so I've seen situations where even the EOD was missing. So just want to point out to you what the minimum amount of Burrells information is necessary to process a memorandum or an NDAA claim from somebody who's still on active duty. Moving on to slide 15, I'm going to give you a little screenshot of SHARE. Again, for those of you who may not be familiar with SHARE or use it in a way that you're comfortable with it on a routine basis, this is what the SHARE Ready screen looks like on slide 15. And you want to make sure that your permissions allow you to access corporate inquiries. You select that and enter the veteran's file number, and it brings you to the next screen, which is displayed on slide 16. And on that screen, I just want to point your attention to the upper left-hand corner, where you'll see a grouping of function boxes, and you want to select claims and denials function. And when you do that, you are brought to the next level of features in SHARE. And on this screen, which is displayed on slide 17, you want to highlight initial compensation pension. And also note the date of the final action there. That will correspond with the date that the initial compensation award was completed, authorized, and closed. That's going to represent your initial ready notification date. And on slide 18, it's just a little more detailed with the same scenario. If you double-click on the compensation pension line on the previous screen, it gives you a detailed screen. All right, I'm moving on to slide 19. We're still in the SHARE Corporate Inquiries module. And we want to look for the veteran's disability rating. So we know that there's an initial rating notification date. We want to make sure that that notification was for a compensable service-connected disability, 10% or higher. So we're back on the awards and ratings function. On slide 20, basically I'm just walking you through the screens that you use and share. This display on slide 20 shows a SHARE corporate award and rating data screen with the rating information tab highlighted. That displays the diagnostic code and the percent of disability for service-connected disability condition. Right, and if you have questions along the way, hopefully you jot them down, and if you can maybe make note of the slide that we were talking about or the specific process, that would be helpful in answering your questions to the extent possible while we're on the call today. All right, moving on to slide 21. I'm showing you just a couple of shots of where you alternate means of finding the initial ready notification date. This slide displays a veteran's virtual VA e-folder with the first notification letter line highlighted. You highlight that, double-click it, and it brings the letter up. Before you use the date that's in the date in the column, however, open the notification and make sure that it's telling the veteran that this is your notification that your original claim of service connected disability has been granted at a rate of 10% or higher. All right, so don't want you to misread what you're looking at in this column. You actually have to look at the notification and make sure that it's telling the veteran of a 10% or higher disability rating on their original claim for service connection. The next screen, slide 22, is basically a companion screen with the same record that I used to show you the virtual VA. I went into the share record and pulled up a screen snapshot of the detail so that you can see that it's reflecting the same date. If you have access to share and that's where the initial rating notification date is stored, you can feel comfortable taking it from there. If you need to look further, look in virtual VA. If you have technical problems with any of those areas, then please make sure you get a question in to your VRNE management. And if there's further questions, into VRNE service so that we can help you. All right, I'm moving on to slide 23. This screen displays a share corporate award and rating data, the VRNE information tab. Again, for some of you, this may be a new introduction to the fact that we've got VRNE information in share. But if you recall earlier, I mentioned that as we migrate off of BDN, we need to display the data that you've been accustomed to finding in BDN elsewhere, and it is going to be displayed in share. Share has provided an exclusive tab for VRNE information, and you locate it using corporate inquiries. And in the awards and rating data, open up the click on the VRNE information tab, and right now you've got six pieces of data available to you. Share will show you the entitlement remaining, the entitlement used, the initial rating notification date, the eligibility termination date, the case status, and the station of jurisdiction. Those are all key pieces of information to help you know whether you are working with an original or a reopened claim. And if you know you've got a reopened claim, now you've got one place to go to find what you need in order to reopen that claim. You know where the CER folder is. You know what case status, and if you've got a reopened claim, then hopefully that case is in either discontinued or rehabilitated. If you discover that it's in any of the active cases, then it no longer is a claim, and the 1900 should be routed to the VRNE officer or the case manager for a little checking into. Okay, so you've got options now to the use of BDN to find your data to help you process the reopen claim. All right, moving on to slide 24, showing you an M35 screen. And the reason for showing you this M35 screen is because I'll spend a couple points during today and talk about the importance of the CER folder location. First, I want to show you which CER folder location data that I'm talking about. So on the M35 screen, if you look in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a field that's labeled CER folder loc, LOC, and then there's three digits after it. That's a station number. That's the data that's important in processing. And for VRNE officers or vocational rehabilitation counselors, they wonder why they've got a claim that looks older than it actually is. More than likely, that CER folder location is the basis for the problem. The CER folder location is not near station. and you process a reopened claim in auto GED, then when it's authorized, Corporate Witness is going to try to update the BDN master record, but it can only update a record that's in the same station as the CWinner's record is in. So if that station number is incorrect for any reason, maybe the folder's in transit from the prior station to your station, or maybe it's not in transit at all, some other kind of issue might be causing the CEF folder location field not to be updated. But if it's incorrect, then your date of claim is not going to be updated. Your BDN master record will not be updated by the corporate winner's transaction. All right. A couple of other things in development steps for processing Chapter 31 claims. If you know the type of claim, and you know that it's a reopened claim, and you know that the current status of the veteran who filed the claim is rehabilitated, then the VNE services made available an end product specifically reserved for controlling claims from veterans who reapply from rehabilitated status. So upon receipt of that claim, and you do your basic record checking, you discover that this veteran's in rehabilitated status, you're not going to immediately start doing an auto GED, but you will establish an end product 795. And right now you'll be doing that in BDN with assess command. And again, just want to emphasize, don't start the auto GED before the entitlement determination and the decision to overturn or remove the prior rehabilitation status has been made. Once the decision is made to either allow or disallow, then you will P-clear the 795. If the prior rehabilitation is overturned, then you'll proceed with auto GED processing. Okay, so we're going to move on to auto GED processing. We'll start with original claims. Auto GED is the primary tool to process Chapter 31 claims. It is the tool that will feed both the BDN master record as well as feeding the corporate witness record. So it's establishing data in all the points that we need for it to establish, which can monitor and track the claim for case management as well as for workload management. Okay. Moving on to slide number 28. Slide 28 gives you a display of the add GED record. For those of you who typically set the GED processing up, you see this screen every workday. For those of you who authorize the GED, you probably don't see this screen very often. But this is the screen that your entries are made in, the entries are made for both the original and reopened, but on an original one, you get a pretty much a blank screen like this. The stub name of the veteran will be filled in, but you fill in the rest of it. So in addition to verifying that the basic eligibility criteria are met with verified military service and one or more service-connected disability condition rated at 10% or higher, Auto GED will handle the basic eligibility process when the service member or veteran has a memorandum rating or when he or she has applied under the NDAA provisional law. Auto GED will also obtain the education benefits used under any of the GI Bill or other education programs, including Chapter 33. You have an option of just checking that check for Chapter 33 eligibility box. If you do not do that, then Auto GED is going to check BDN to see if there's any indication that a payment was made out of BDN to this veteran for Chapter 33 benefits. Okay. If after entering data on this screen and running the process, any errors or verification problems occur, they're going to be posted in the Otter GED record on the processing tab. And you have an option and an opportunity to analyze what the problem is, get it corrected, and to retry the processing through the point of authorization. Right, I'm moving on to slide 29. So for Otter GED, I want you to complete the form entries, the application receive date. This must be accurate and taken as the date it was received in a VA facility. Education level, enter number of years with two digits. When I've given you the details on that, that is actually in the Corporate Winners User's Manual. If you need, if you have any questions on how to enter education level. The initial rating notification date. If you put a date in the initial rating notification date, then basically you've instructed Otter GED to go look for a service-connected compensation rating. If that entry is blank, then you must enter data in the diagnostic codes for processing of a memorandum rating. Or you must check the NDAA box. So Otter GED is hard-coded to either look for a veteran's compensation rating or to accept that there's a memorandum rating because you've placed a four-digit code in one of the diagnostic code boxes, or you've checked NDAA. And again, I kind of think that there might be some questions on this. So if you have questions, please just jot them down, and we'll try to cover them. All right, we're giving you some references on slide 29 in the notes area of your presentation, just references on NDAA claims processing. All right, continuing with Otter GED processing. Otter GED will also allow you to get a claim under control, get the basic eligibility documentation, but also put a temporary hold on it if you check the indicator for temporary entitlement. This is just a feature that you would use on an original claim, and basically it allows you time to verify some data for education usage. It's not something that is routinely used, but it's part of our BDN migration to give you features that BDN was able to provide to you. We've placed it in Corporate Winners as well. So if there's any situation where you've got a little bit of a holdup because you can't verify some education usage, you can use this temporary entitlement GED feature in Otter GED, and it will allow you to go back in and update it once you get that verification of education usage. There are some optional fields on the GED processing screen. There's a box that allows you to check if the veteran has OEF, OIF, or OND service, and if you check it, then what that does is it places an indicator in conjunction with the end product, and it will follow that end product right through the point where you close it. There's another optional field that allows you to enter three characters, either numbers or letters, and I know that there are several stations that use that, and I'll give an example of how it is used in some stations, especially those that have a number of outbase locations or have more than one location. You can put an abbreviation of the outbase location, and so long as that end product is pending, the location indicator will be attached to it. So when you run your electronic reports, your pending end product reports, that location indicator and the OEF, OIF, OND indicator will be attached to the end product, and they're sortable, so it will allow you to see how many 719s you have in outbase location 1 or in your main office or in outbase location 2, how many of those have OEF, OAF, OND priority. Again, those steels are optional. They're there for your use in workload management. They're also an indicator for the Vow to Hire Heroes participants. So if you are, if you have a Vow to Hire Hero participant, you can enter VOW in the location box. And that will track your 095s, 295s, 719s. Then when you clear that process in Auto GED as the claim is authorized, those end products get cleared and that label gets cleared as well. All right. So moving on to slide number 31. So I'll make sure I stay on track. I think we're okay. Reopen claims. Again, might have said this two or three times so far, but it bears repeating. Use end product 795 to control claims from a veteran who has reapplied from a rehabilitated status. Don't process in auto GED until the determination to overturn the rehabilitation is documented, and then P-clear the 719 when the entitlement determination is made. Auto GED will take care of the 719. Right. From a reopened status, the steps for accessing corporate winners through the navigator screen, the GED processor, are here on this slide. It's the same process that you use for starting an original claim. Click on a, but this one you're going to click on a single record and enter the file number. That will put that actual record on display in Auto GED. You highlight it and select the reopened key. Make sure that you're entering the date of claim in the claim date field and update any fields that have outdated information. Make sure if the veteran's address has changed that you update that, for example. All right, I'm going to move on to slide 32. And slide 33. We'll talk about completed GEDs. The screen displayed on slide 33 is the auto GED record showing an authorized slash completed GED record. To authorize the GED, there's some other follow-on actions. In the following slides, 34, 35, and 36 covers the importance of the CER folder location. And I know we just finished talking about reopen claims, but whether you've got a reopen claim or original claim, you've got to deal with the CER folder location, and you have to update the auto GED record. The slides 34, 35, and 36, I wanted to show you an indicator of how important that CER folder location is. I've attached a snippet from a case management indicator raw data report that VRNE service issues to the field on a monthly basis. And in this report, if you've got any records where the CER folder location is inconsistent with corporate winners, the one indicator on this report is that the case manager number might look unfamiliar to you, or maybe you've got a case manager number that has only one or two records. Almost for certain, that means that the CER folder location is incorrect on the M35 screen. All right, I'm going to move along a little bit quicker and ask that perhaps on your own that you read the details in the notes section on the slides that pertain to CER folder locations. We did talk about it to some degree, and any questions, I'm happy to answer them for you either on this call or in follow-up. I'd like to move into disallowance processing. We talk about disallowance processing in auto GED, we're talking about disallowance of basic eligibility. Auto GED will handle the processing of disallowance for basic eligibility when the veteran does not meet the qualifying military service or qualifying service-connected disability criteria. On slide 39, I'm giving you an example of some of the situations that would lead to a finding of disallowance of basic eligibility. What these messages tell you is that Auto GED ran a check on Burroughs and did not find, could not validate qualifying service, or ran a check in CHAIR or RBA 2000 and could not find qualifying service kind of disability. Now, on the processing tab, you have an opportunity to click the status button and use the features that are there to correct any of these situations and then retry processing, or you use the features to disallow the claimant as a disallowance button. You click on that disallowance button and all of the functions for disallowing, including issuing a disallowance letter, are made available to you. Okay, I'm moving on to slide 40. We'll talk about data and application processing. I mentioned before that end products 095, 295, and 719 are generated in the auto GED process. And the 795 is manually established by a VRE employee. On slide 41, the report areas and the details that you can obtain from the report areas, primarily VOR 2.0, or the PIF, pending issue file detail report, or corporate winners intranet reports. Those will help you keep track of your pending end products that are generated through claims processing. Right, I'm moving on to slide 42. The corporate inquiries module, we talked about that. I showed you the VRE information tab. Again, this is another reference for where you can pull up the available VRE information. I'm moving on to slide 43. And on this slide, I want to just introduce you to the location of archived records. You mentioned archived records. That's basically a process where we're transferring the data that's in BDN to a corporate data table, and we're making the screen data available in SHARE, and you can locate those screens on the pre-conversion master record tab in SHARE on the corporate inquiries function. All right. I'd like for Roland to maybe unmute and just do a little check-in and see how we're doing for time in terms of talking through the rest of the screens or opening this up for questions now. What do you think, Roland?
Hi, Ruth. We have 10 minutes left, so there was one question we got virtually, and I think it'd be a good time to open it up for questions. We did introduce indexing and archiving at the beginning, so they can go ahead and read that on their own. So, okay, it looks like we do have a question here from San Diego. Can we go ahead with that? All right.
Did they?
It's IM.
The email. Okay. Yeah. Can you?
So should I press to put everybody?
Can you read it to me?
Yes. I'm going to take everyone off lecture mode to all of the staff on the phone right now. So please ensure that your phone is on mute. So that way, when I take everyone off lecture mode, there is no feedback. And then when you do have a question, you can go ahead and unmute yourself and speak. So first, we have a question, though, here.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Your provider can review it.
The conference is in lecture mode.
Okay, some people have the call on hold.
Okay,
so they didn't hear my announcement. I'm going to go ahead with this question on IM, Ruth, and you can answer it. If the initial rating notification date says a different date and shares date of final action, for example, it could say 4:15, 2:13 in chair versus the date on the rating decision itself, which is 4:14, 2013. Which date should we use? Sometimes...
Oh, is there more to that question?
Yes. Sometimes the date is off by just a day or two. In other words, should we always trust shares info first before searching elsewhere? So where the person wrote, I'm trying to avoid Q&A errors and get the correct info in.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. I mean, basically, when the claim is authorized and closed, it means that all the promulgation steps have been taken, including issuing the notification to the veteran. You know, if you have a difference in documented dates, then and it's a matter of a day or two. You know, we're talking about access to the veteran's resource and. In establishing the beginning date of the 12-year period of eligibility, you take the one that is, you know, that is in favor of the veteran. So if his claim was promulgated / authorized on the 13th of the month and his letter notification went out on the 14th of the month, you'd use the 14th of the month. If there's like a year or two that separates these two dates, so that's something that needs, that's a different question that needs to be looked into, and perhaps that's a veteran who might be entitled to a deferral period where we actually go into the GED process and add a period of active duty service, which would extend that veteran's ending date, 12-year ending date, by the period of time that he was on active duty.
Thank you, Ruth.
Sure.
Okay, once again, I'm going to place everyone on off of the lecture mode, and you can go ahead and ask your questions through the Vance line today. Thank you. And okay, go ahead, Ruth, with that.
Oh, okay, thank you.
There you go.
I got a question, but I am from a VRNE officer who says the letter released on the EP-795 mentioned nothing about clearing it on completion of the overturn. Just want a clarification. When you make a decision, doesn't matter what the decision is, you found the person entitled and you're removing the prior rehab, or you found the person not entitled and you're not removing the prior rehab, in either of those situations, be clear the 795. All right, it's just a tracking / monitoring end product. It's not controlling a transaction. It's not going to generate a data claim or anything. Just be clear.
Thanks, Ruth. Again, please reminder to please mute your line so we can give others opportunity to ask questions. We have time for one more, maybe two. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm waiting for another question. I'll just talk a little bit about archiving because we've got new functionality coming into corporate winners between September and October. That's going to... I'm sorry, not archiving, but indexing. I have the archiving slide open.
Indexing. The conference is in lecture mode.
Let me just start that over again. While we're waiting for the next questions, I'm just going to talk a little bit about indexing because the corporate winners enhancements that will be installed between September and October of this year are going to bring some new functionality called indexing. And indexing means that there will be an automated system that will electronically point to either BDN or to corporate winners, and whichever system that it points to, that's the system that's going to allow payment of subsistence allowance. And those of you on the line, I'm confident that you've heard us talk about the subsistence allowance module and the beta testing that we're doing right now. Sam is in corporate winners. When we start paying veterans out of corporate winners, we've got to lock their BDN records so that no payments are inadvertently or otherwise paid out of BDN. We can't have duplicate payments, so we've got to lock that record. Well, that functionality is being made available to us while we're still in this beta test mode. Everyone's going to see the impact of it when the enhancement is released.
Your conference is scheduled to end in 2 minutes.
And so we wanted to just get that out there for you. We're going to...
Please stand by for operator help.
What happens when I go to access a record and proceed as usual. There'll be more information on this. Just wanted to get that out to you folks.
So, Ruth, we have about 10 more minutes left, and do you want to open up for questions again?
Sure.
Continue, okay.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Okay, folks, we have a couple more minutes left. If you have any more questions, now's the time.
Ruth, this is Jen from Boston.
Hi, Jen.
I had a question that one of our Buffalo Education Service folks asked, and that's when they're looking up records now to see if they have a BDN master record. If we're indexing and archiving, should they have access to see winners in order to see if they do have a Chapter 31 master record, since these records are going to be gone?
Well, that's a good example of how of the use of that VRNE information tab and share. They have access to share, and so if they go into corporate inquiries and click on awards and ratings, they'll get to that VRNE information tab. The eligibility termination date is there, the entitlement used and entitlement remaining is there, and the case status, and the location of the folder.
Okay, great. I'll let them know that.
Okay, thanks, Jen.
Anyone else? Go ahead with your question.
Oh, someone asked a question on referencing slide 14. If there's no Burles record, who contacts the service center? Well, if there's no Burles record, you've got to make sure you have a veteran. So if a claim comes in and you do a Bing Think and you're not pulling any data, you're getting a no record message, you got to route that, either walk it over to the service center or get it routed over there, somehow get it to the service center for them to validate that this individual is actually a veteran. If they are not, then you disallow that claim for no basic eligibility.
Next question, anyone? Go ahead.
Hey, hi, this is Steve Srebnick in New York. My staff wants to know, is there a step-by-step guide for converting NDA cases to Chapter 31 cases?
No, there isn't, because you can't convert them to Chapter 31 cases. One of two things happen. If you establish an NDAA case and the veteran service member actually failed to pursue and the record is in discontinued status, and then they reapply, when they reapply, if they are no longer in DAA, if they actually have compensation, you just don't check the NDAA box, and it will process a routine GED, and it will incorporate that prior NDAA record and all the history of it into the Chapter 31 record. I don't have the particulars on this, but I believe that we talked about a mass conversion of NDAA benefit type to Chapter 31 benefit type. I don't have the particulars. I don't know when that will occur or what will be involved in it, but that's on the horizon.
Great. Ruth, I have some questions on the IM.
Okay.
One person asked, when would you need to charge Chapter 31 entitlement from IDES? I think that's her question.
Okay, that's a good question. And the reason that I put those slides in there as a contemporary example of types of GEDs that we are more recently faced with is because we have service members who are receiving Chapter 31 services, and they may be attending school. We're paying facility bills, and maybe they're going to school full-time. Maybe they're going to school half-time. But unless you process an award of subsistence allowance in BDN, there's no way to reflect the amount of entitlement that training service represents in BDN. So you start out with 48 months of creditable Chapter 31 entitlement, and if you write an award of subsistence allowance,
say for 1 month of full-time training, then at the end of that month, that person has 47 months remaining. Well, if you're not writing a subsistence allowance award in BDN, there's no other way to track the entitlement use except through the eligibility/entitlement update type of GED to charge the amount of entitlement. And yes, you do have to calculate how many months and days are used based on the enrollment period that you're paying for with, the tuition that you're paying.
So Ruth, in other words, once the service member is officially a veteran, the program support staff or whoever in the office actually has to manually calculate the entitlement and go in and do an entitlement eligibility update.
Well, they actually should do it on a frequency that resembles, an actual award transaction. And I would say once an enrollment period. So if the person's enrolled from September 1st to September 30th, then during that enrollment period, you're going to update BDN. If they're enrolled from September 1st through December 31st, then during that enrollment period, you're going to update BDN. And the screen snapshots that I provided show you the exact place where you enter, the fields that you have to make entries in to update that record.
Thank you, Ruth. Next question is, will the function to enter transfer Chapter 33 entitlement ever be added in to auto GED?
The only answer I can give you to that is that is actually a change request that we have formally submitted to the corporate WNEC developers to make a change in the system. And Education Service is working with us on this as well, so that what the entitlement that's been transferred to another individual by a veteran is properly accounted for in the education benefits used. I hope I answered that clearly enough. It's in the works, in other words.
Thanks, Ruth. I think you did. I don't have any other questions, but someone said thank you.
All right, let me just check my IM because I heard some messaging.
Anyone else on the line who would like to ask a question? It's all yours.
No questions on indexing or archiving? All right, we're on. Then I want to point out that if you do have questions, your VRNE field liaison representatives are available to take those calls or questions. Actually, I believe email.
Right.
And so if there's anything that came up on this training that you need more clarification on, then please feel free to contact them again.
The conference is in lecture mode.
If any step of processing causes a problem or, you've got a technical issue, please use the trouble ticket system. The National Service Desk is there to help. 1-855-NSD-HELP. They'll capture your question. They'll route it to either Corporate Winners analyst, or they'll route it to somebody in VRNE service. Take a look at it and get back to you.
Great point.
Okay.
Also, we wanted to let everyone know if you see PII on any of the slides, just know that it's a test record for demonstration purposes only. And just to then conclude, go through the trouble ticket, go through NSD, and if there's still problems, contact your field liaison. You can contact your field liaison through your VRNE officer or assistant officer. Just a reminder that there are CRC CEU credits available for this training. And also, please remember to go back to TMS, take the feedback survey so that you can self-certify completion of today's training. So we hope that this training has been beneficial for you, and thanks for serving our nation's veterans and service members. This concludes the presentation to application processing. Have a great day.